You're listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller. Friday, December the 1st, is World AIDS Day, a day to reflect on the impact of HIV and AIDS and memorialize those we lost to the virus. This year, an event will take place at the Waterhouse Pavilion in Miller Plaza. WUTC's Will Davis is speaking with the keynote speaker, Jeannie White Ginder. Her son, Ryan White, was one of the first children with hemophilia to be diagnosed with AIDS, and this was back in the early 1980s. Ryan wanted to keep going to school in an era when many people didn't understand the disease or how it was transmitted, and some were afraid to even shake Ryan's hand or let him sit with them in church. He became famous as someone fighting against the stigma of the disease. Here's WUTC's Will Davis.
It's been 27 years since Ryan White, who was diagnosed with AIDS following a blood transfusion, died. His mother, Jeannie White Ginter, is coming to Chattanooga to tell her son's story and to talk about what's being done today to fight the disease. I talked to her on the telephone.
I think on World AIDS Day, I think it's good to remember how far we've come and how bad and awful it was, you know, at the beginning of the disease, and how we've come so far to where we have the meds and, you know, people can live. So it's our story, and it's our story. We lived it, and, you know, watching your son live and die from AIDS, and, you know, it's a horrible, horrible thing for my family, but so many thousands of others that nobody hears about.
You have to be a certain age to remember how confusing those early days of HIV and AIDS were. I remember that time. I remember Ryan's story, and you became a role model because you showed us how to cope. How did you do that?
Oh, I prayed. you know, you lose your faith, you gain your faith, you lose your faith, you gain your faith, you say why, you know, and that somehow, you know, I thought I was going to get a miracle, and I think sometimes we get miracles and we kind of don't see because they're not the exact miracle maybe that we kind of wanted. You know, every day was a different day. And you think that everybody's going to get educated. You think people are going to start coming around and not start blaming people for this disease and act like people deserve it. And it's God's punishment on people who do bad things. And, you know, and trying to explain to people, you know, even with Ryan, that nobody deserves this disease. And I loved it that my son took that initiative to fight the disease and not the people who have it.
Was Ryan aware that he was helping people?
I don't think at first. I think, you know, I think the media and everything was annoying. But then the media, when he began the fight to go to school, the media was his best friend. And very few people really say that about the media. But they interviewed him. They would interview the parents group. And Ryan said, Mom, don't people see how silly kind of this is? That if they're so afraid of getting AIDS from me, and if it could hop, skip, jump around like everybody thinks it can, he said, they let the media in their home. The media talks to me, you know. So Ryan was just like, he couldn't quite understand why people didn't want to really educate themselves, you know, and it was more of an attack on people, I think, and segments of the population, I think, that he thought that most people were condemning.
I remember in another interview you saying that the reaction that you got from your church, or at least some in the religious community, was disappointing.
Oh, it was very. I mean, I was raised in the church. I mean, my parents went to the church before they even had me. And to see the reaction of the religious community when I thought the church would always be there. And I'm not saying everybody. I mean, you know, I'm just saying that the majority of people, our house was the AIDS house. Nobody wanted to come to our house. We felt very neglected because we did not have the support from the church. I mean, they said, you know, would you be willing to sit in the middle, in the back, that way where people would know where you were sitting, and if they had issues, they could sit elsewhere, and would you be willing to use the restroom in the parsonage and the drinking fountain? I mean, it was really, and on Easter Sunday, I can remember my dad was just so overwhelmed. He said, they turned around, everybody shook everybody's hand, you know, like they always do, and nobody would shake Ryan's. And my dad says, I will not come back. And I just couldn't believe that I did not have the support of the church. That was just really, really hard.
My memory of you is a woman with such grace. How did you do that?
I prayed, Lord, help me not to say anything I'm going to be sorry for. Because 10 years down the road, I thought these people are going to see the silly things that they've said and done, and maybe they'll be sorry. I mean, that is kind of what I was hoping that maybe some, but I was hoping it'd be sooner than that. I was hoping they'd, you know, just get the education, but I don't know. I didn't want it to ever embarrass Ryan. And it was hard because I was mad. Ryan wasn't mad, but I was mad quite a bit, or upset at things that people said and done. And I've never lost faith, my faith, that I've lost a lot of faith in the church.
You became an activist, and that's my word. I don't know if that's a word that you use, but that's a word that a lot of people use to describe you. How did that happen, and when did that happen?
I always just, you know, was Ryan's mom, and I'm happy with that. Just Ryan, I don't even care if anybody knows my name. But after Ryan passed away, I wasn't planning on doing anything. I followed Ryan around, you know, and that's what I did. And when he was in the hospital, before he passed away, Senator Kennedy had talked to me on the phone and said, you know, we're having these first hearings, and we would like to name this bill the Ryan White Care Act. They said, nobody's brought so much attention to this disease, and we have people caring about people with AIDS now. With your permission, we would like to name it the Ryan White Care Act. And at the time, Ryan had not passed away, and I thought, that would be nice. I mean, you know, I that was not my thinking at that time, you know. But then after Ryan passed away, I get another call from Senator Kennedy about 3 weeks after Ryan's funeral, and he wanted me to come to D.C. He said, you know, we're having these hearings. We'd like for you to talk to the senators. I said, Ryan did that, not me. I said, really, I said, I know nothing about the government. And he said, well, think about it, okay? And so my friends from ANPAR, a lot of the gay men that I had worked so hard with and did a lot with from ANPAR, and they did a lot for me, I should say that more importantly. They said, you know, we know about the bill. They said, you know, please do this on behalf of all the people living with AIDS now. And I just said, you know, no, I'm not a strong enough person. Emotionally, I'm still a wreck because of losing Ryan. And then I got a call from Senator Hatch. Senator Hatch called me himself, and he said, you know, Mrs. White, I'm not going to take no for an answer. He said, we have 25 senators lined up. He said, just be a mom. We're going to approach this disease a little different. Everybody has a mom. And you tell these senators what it was like for a mom to watch her son live and die from AIDS.
Is support strong in Washington for the Ryan White Care Act?
Well, who knows with Trump, but I don't know. I think it's a real sensitive issue with a lot of people, but it's always been nonpartisan. So I think everybody's wanting to see it just kind of stay the same, which I think there's some issues there. I think, you know, the numbers are really heavy in the South, and the money's kind of need to be reproportionate. But if you open up that bill, it's going to be forever, and we're going to probably lose more than we gain.
Thank you for talking to me. I really enjoy talking to you.
Okay, thank you, Will.
That was WUTC's Will Davis speaking with Jeannie White Ginder. She's going to be the keynote speaker at this year's World AIDS Day event, which is going to take place on Friday at 6 p.m. at the Waterhouse Pavilion in Miller Plaza, downtown Chattanooga. Her talk is free and open to the public.